Yeah, now it's all right. I had to push my button twice. I'm telling you.
Hey, somebody's got
to
push.
I just don't have the strength to push the digital button on my computer.
The digital buttons of reality.
Quick time audio recording. Engaged.
Commander Cody and the digital buttons. Hey, everybody is dancing now.
Everybody that
can. Everybody that can, yes. Which means I'm not.
All right. I wonder what I was saying. good. Okay. Pull yourself together, Robert Strong.
Good luck.
And pull yourself together, Richard Pollock.
I shall, Mr. Pollock.
Right. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Hey, you folks are tuning in to Radio Science News. This episode is being recorded on December 11th, 2021. For some reason, that still sounds like I'm talking into the future or something.
Yeah.
And yet, in a few days, it's going to be 2022, and then I'm going to be really confused.
And actually, in a few seconds, it's going to be the future, too. So just
and a few
seconds
ago, it was the past.
It's like the Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. Blink, and it's a new one. Hey, you're listening to Radio Science News, episode number 816 in a series. As you prime number fans know out there, any number that ends in a 6 is not a prime number.
No.
It has at least the factors of 2 and 3. But
least.
This, 816, has the factors of 2 and 2 and 2 and 2 and 3 and 17.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, if you're from the planet Mercury.
Mercury. I'm crazy about a Mercury. That's a great story.
It is the 65th anniversary of Radio Science News
on Mercury.
On Mercury.
I mean, we qualify for Medicare on,
yes,
on Mercury?
Yes, yes.
65, that's great.
Social
Security kicks in.
Social Security kicks in and everything. So, you know.
Well, you need it on Mercury. You,
you
know?
Certainly do.
A lot of people go to Phoenix, Arizona for the dry heat, but I'm thinking
but
Mercury.
It's a
would,
lot drier heat there, yeah.
And a lot heatier, too. Just
well, wait. It used to be that we thought that one side of Mercury always faced the sun. And then we found out, due to more science and more observations,
nice.
That actually Mercury rotates on its axis.
Yeah.
And it turns out that when the Earth was closest to Mercury was when. Essentially the same side of Mercury always faced the Earth.
Yeah.
But it did seem to rotate around.
I love that idea of getting new information.
I love learning new things. In fact, that's what Radio Science News is all about.
It is.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get you folks started. And if you're driving one of those self-driving cars, good for you. I'm glad that you can afford that. Make sure that everything is in engaged properly so that you can participate in Radio Science News. If not, then pull over if you're driving so that you can fully engage in Radio Science News. Because we're going to go over a lot of really
There's
good
a lot.
Stuff.
I have way too much stuff, as you know, Robert.
As you always do, because you know what? You want to give us more than we deserve.
Well, there is that, but... No, many times any individual topic that we have on here could go on and on. And we try to warn people that we put the links up, and oftentimes we might not even get to the topic, and you can go visit it on your own.
It's just for you to try to go in and find out some.
And sometimes
stuff.
We carry them over from one week to the
sure.
next. And the biggest thing is to get them because Robert, I just watched. Jeff Bezos and his
I did too.
Latest mission just before I jumped into my car and came down here, and very impressive. But the launch pad of science is the best we can
Speaking
do.
Speaking of the launch pad of science, I'm going to get you to that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through another portal.
Ooh.
If you go, ooh, I know, through another portal.
Starter.
if you go to www.smartcenter.org, that takes you to my favorite webpage on the internet, which is the Smart Center page. Richard and Libby and I work with the Smart Center. We do all kinds of outreach and summer science camps and teacher workshops and all kinds of fun stuff. And then a projection of that is the store, the science store here in beautiful downtown rain-soaked Wheeling this morning. Yeah, it looks like the rain's letting up, but boy, it was pouring last night.
It was.
So we're in smart center market with an R-E as opposed to smart center, which is an E-R. So to get to that, just type into your web browser, whichever that happens to be, www.smartcenter.org, and up pops the Smart Center webpage. Now, what's really nice about this is that it is a direct link to all kinds of interesting, fun stuff, but it's also a nice link to Radio Science News. And if you look above the little trifecta rainbow t-shirt images there, you'll see the link to Radio Science News. And what's fun about Radio Science News for me, and I'm sure it's as fun for our listeners, is that I have not seen what these topics are. I might have seen them in just my general browsing.
And occasionally you have seen it and sent it to me. So that
and then I might have seen it and sent it to you. But this is my first approach. And so what, as we've mentioned before, what you're doing is you're listening into two guys talking about science, and hopefully it's an interesting conversation. And so we don't pre-record this. We don't, you know, do all that stuff. This is
we don't
live.
Do we rehearse?
We rehearse. I can't even spell rehearse.
No,
so what we do is it's just live. We have fun. There's mistakes. There's errors, and it's just the fun of doing. So this is December 11th, 2021. We've got infant COVID.
Some news on why infants actually. In some ways, this was distorted, but infants actually do have some amazing resistance to COVID, and we'll
Isn't
talk
that
about
interesting?
That. Nasal vaccine.
Nasal vaccine.
Gee, wouldn't that have been an easy thing?
Add up your nose.
Six Quarks. You're going to think, is this a new band from England or something?
No.
But it's one of those Korean boy bands.
Oh,
Six Quarks.
I love the Six Quarks, yeah. What?
This is something that, now, of course, Robert, being such a person of physics.
Oh, I am.
You're familiar with baryons and three quark things.
And the flavors and the colors.
So, but we're going to talk about that. And speaking of flavors, grapeseed.
Smooth transition.
The stories that we have not gotten to, these medical ones, grapeseed, TT10, C. difficile. And the thing about transplants.
Oh, I was thinking that said transparent, but I have something on my glasses.
Well, there is that. So those stories, I keep putting those as if we may eventually get to them. But the big story that I do know that we want to get into, and maybe we should jump into it and see how much time we end up. This last section, in some ways, and I'm still processing it because I have mixed feelings about what was the December 9th ECAT demo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing is I'm kind of letting it sort of, I'm ruminating on it. You know, like ruminating comes from cow out in the field and he's sort of like chewing and thinking about and rumin comes from the fact that he puts stuff in. Anyway, the idea is that you take some time to absorb, process, and then maybe revisit. And that's kind of, I think we're going to be doing that for a while.
I just want to say that Richard and I have a fabulous program today at between noon and 1 p.m. over at the Center Market area. We are going to be with the Wheeling Symphony. And so to prepare for that, Richard came over to the Smart Center Market early on December 9th, and we actually watched this.
We watched the demo, the live stream demo where Robert Rossi was actually going to present. He did it personally. There's a bunch of things about the whole presentation that lead me to think different ways. But what we'll do is we're going to look at there's a link to the December 9th ECAT demo, which will allow you to actually watch the whole thing, watch and listen to the whole thing, which is not that long.
No, it's actually extremely short.
And it's even interesting because in some ways it's almost kind of like, it almost reminds me of like a waiter who brings out the food and says, "This is the food. You may eat it or I don't," he was a little.
Whatever you want to do with it.
He was a little, I don't want to say, not short.
No,
But very no wasted time kind of
right.
thing. Because, and I think part of it, there are reasons why that may be. There was also a particular, what they call a FAQ, FAQ, they always talk about a FAQ. There's a sheet that they put up that has a long list of sort of things that you kind of need to know that the staff will put together. Because a lot of times people will ask Rossi a question, well, what was the coefficient of performance on the thing? Meaning how much power in, how much out? And he'll say, go watch the video.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, hey, you could just tell him no. I appreciate he's going, look, I've been working on this for 10 years. It's the most amazing thing. You like it or you don't. We'll see where it goes.
Watch the film.
Then there was a thing where there were questions and answers. One of the things that Robert and I did have concern about when we actually went to see the, it was scheduled for 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it was from their facilities near Miami. And it, you know, oh man, it was delayed and or it was jammed, and it turns out that they really do state that there were issues of people hacking and trying to, you know, cut the feed.
That's so sad.
Well, but in, you know, it's another one of those things that you go, well, why would somebody do that? Or
why,
did somebody do it? Or, you know,
why would somebody do that if this weren't
Exxon.
Real?
Exxon. Oh,
Exxon?
No, just kidding.
I believe that you were saying Exxon, but I couldn't hear you because you were coughing.
Wasn't quite. I was just clearing my mind there for a second. So anyway, like, for example, the questions and answers, we were thinking it was going to be you could post questions and mm-hmm. there'd be a real time. They kind of had to do, I mean, part of it is that they're working on something. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the scenes from the series of Star Trek things where, you know, you go back and the guy is inventing hyperdrive, and, you know, and it's like, you're thinking it's like a garage operation and mm-hmm. he knows what he's doing. And there's some interesting things about that. Now, then I actually put a couple of, one quick link from Engineer48, who's a guy who, there, Rossi has a blog that he responds to and that you can send things to. And,
which,
you know,
is awesome.
And the chart that we put up is the Ragone chart.
And every
or
time,
plot.
And I have been looking at this now for years, and
yeah.
every time I see it, my jaw still drops.
Well, and we probably in some ways need to revisit it again
yeah.
after having seen the dip. But again, part of what I want to say is, let's kind of ease into this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, for what we'll start by just going to the, we'll get to some of the other maybe stories, but I'm going to click on the one that says December 9th ECAT demo.
Okay.
And this takes you to the page that, here we go, ECAT/December 9th event. It says, welcome, and then it says, today on December 9th, 2021, we proudly present the ECAT SKLED. As you can see, it has LED in it. So in the for folks who are not familiar or haven't been following this, and I don't blame you for not knowing about this.
Right.
Andre Rossi's ECAT, which originally was kind of dubbed as the Energy Catalyzer. It went through several iterations, and the SK stands for Sven Kulander, who was a scientist that was a mentor and someone that, who contributed a lot to what he was doing. So this one is the SK, it's the LED, and then they claim it's the most energy efficient lamp ever made, and from the, you know, from the specs, and we accept them as offered, it certainly is. And then it talks about the thing that was actually a big surprise for many people. There were some slight delays in this December presentation, and it appears that part of it was both of these things are they have certification. You know, like
mm-hmm.
we have in the United States, we have UL certification.
Right.
The EU has what they call CE certification, European, you know, like a CE certification.
Okay.
And the point is, both of these are real products that when they are manufactured after, you know, a pre-order period, they're already approved and ready to go. And the ECAT SKL, which has an EP at the end, stands for electrical production. So it says basically a clean, compact, and fossil-free power source, providing electric power continuously for 100,000 hours. Please watch the presentation video below. And Robert and I initially weren't sure. We were talking about the 100,000 hours. You were telling me how many years that is. Do you want a quick, or I don't know.
Yes, I will.
We were just kind of estimate, because a lot of people will, like LEDs are just remarkable because they'll typically say they're good for 50,000 hours, and some of them actually will claim to be 100,000 hours.
Right.
Like the, but it's a lot of time, and you're thinking, so something runs continuously. Like if I light up my barbecue, and
that gives you 6 years.
So we're in the, like, the 6 year time frame.
Right.
Now,
continually operating.
Yeah. And
for 6 years.
And one of the things that, again, this, a lot of this stuff is going to be foreign to people, or they're going to say, what are you guys talking about? It's a very complex kind of issue. This thing probably all started way back when Fleshman and Pons first talked about cold fusion. And then they got obliterated by other scientists because, you know, supposedly things couldn't be replicated. Even though we now know from history that not only was NASA, but the U.S. Navy A lot of people were doing things.
I'm sorry. I think that my math was wrong. I must have pushed a wrong key.
I am going
to do this again. That did not feel correct when I did it before, because I was thinking that was about 11 years, and I got somewhere around 6. So when I redid it, I got 11.4 years.
Yeah, okay, so we'll just talk okay. 11 and
I was
half
thinking
years.
That seemed off. I must have hit something else there.
Now, okay. the reason Thank why you. This becomes even more interesting is the, and Robert, when we look at the fact sheet, we'll talk about it more. But anyway, on this page, I just want you to know that you can click and begin the thing. I'll click just a second. Andre Rossi had some throat issues that he's recovered from, but it's a little difficult because he has a very
Welcome to this presentation of ECAT technology.
We'll just listen to a few minutes.
Energy technology developed by Leonardo Corporation. It is a safe, clean technology which is far more economical than any other energy technology in the marketplace. It produces no carbon emissions or any other form of pollution. Today, Andrea Rossi, CEO of Leonardo Corporation and the inventor of the ECAT, will demonstrate 2 ECAT products.
All right, so he's going to start out. The thing is, it's a long thing, so I'm just going to hope that if this is of big interest to you, as it very well may be, part of it is time's going to tell.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of complicated things going on here. Okay, I'm going to go back to, you can actually go to the fact sheet from here, but I'm going to go back to the launch pad of science, and I'm now going to go to the FAQ ECAT.
Okay.
Now, because there are some things that I was surprised at. Somebody emailed me and said, well, I was watching it, but you're going to have to explain it to me. And I said, well,
certainly.
We'll talk about it, but the explanation and all this will have to evolve because there are a bunch of things that, some things are not totally clear, but a lot of things are just surprising.
Yeah.
If you go to the fact for the ECAT, the first thing that surprised me was, as I said, this began way back when people were looking at what they would call excess heat or above unit energy.
Yeah.
Now, just for a reference point, as I mentioned to my friend who said, well, could you tell me one of the reasons why this is important? And I said, well, you know, this is a guy who's come up with something that is demonstrably producing energy in excess of, and in the case of, we're going to be talking about the electric production, the ECAT, SKLEP, you basically put in 1 watt of energy.
Right.
To get the thing started, right?
Exactly.
And what you're getting is a continuous 100 watts of electricity out.
For 1,000 hours.
First, there are a couple things about that I wasn't clear about at first because I thought, okay, so you could say, Robert, that you put in 1 watt of electrical energy. And even with the fact that there's some heat dissipation and some control, you get 100 watts out. So effectively, if you were talking about an energy device, especially in this sort of new realm of what would be considered exotic things that people may or may not even believe in right now,
right?
The coefficient of production, not power, but the production would be
100 times.
Yeah, it would be a COP of 100.
Right.
Okay. Now, the part that I didn't understand until I read through, I've been looking through some of these things, and there are some, we'll see it on the question thing. The thing that's interesting, Robert, is if you turn on your ECAT, so like, you know, whatever you're doing with your ECAT, where you're either powering your, maybe you have a Tasty Bake Oven, and you have a 100-watt
Tasty Bake Oven, now we're talking.
You're thinking, I'm going to cook my Christmas cookies in my, but I'm going to run it with my ECAT.
Right.
And at first it doesn't seem like, well, that's some heat and that's some light, but there's 100 watts of energy. Okay. Here's the thing. If you were, as I understand, and I think this is actually clear, once you start the ECAT up, you started it up with your little 1 watt of power, and you can use that, any source, like they talk about a 12-volt battery.
Right.
It then goes into self-sustaining mode.
Right.
Which means that you are now, I know you're a heck of a mathematician, Robert, and this is going to be a tough one for you because if you now have a device, and I'm picturing you at the blackboard at,
there I am.
In Mrs. Wildman's class in third grade when I would be finding out about fractions or whatever. And so at the top, you have 100 watts.
Right.
And at the bottom, if you start it with one, you can say, well, the answer is, you know, 100.
100.
But if I tell you that now, after you finish your first batch of Tasty Bake Oven cookies,
oh.
and it turns out that the thing is what they call self-sustaining mode, it is actually powering itself with no further input.
Right.
So if you have the 100 on top and the divide, and then you put a zero on the bottom, we're in trouble, right?
Yes, because most mathematicians at this point would it begin to sort of
they would bluster
blur.
And say,
yes.
The hell you say,
right? Yes,
that's, or something
they
like
would
that.
Say no,
what
no,
the? They say what the?
That can't okay. be true. But what's happening is you're releasing some kind of a reaction, not a chemical reaction,
no.
not a nuclear reaction, but closer to a nuclear than a chemical.
You've engaged a process and it's
we've engaged something
yeah.
that suddenly outputs for the next 100,000 hours, essentially 100 watts of energy. Now, what I, as most science people, want to know is, where is this coming from?
Well, and that gets yeah. complicated. There's also, one of the things is they have published a very extensive theoretical basis for what they're doing, and it's on research. We've linked it before, and we may talk about that before. But it's very deep in the weeds on physics
right.
and Dirac equations, and the thing that I think jumped out at me as the most surprising thing was, as I said, we first looked into this when people understood that there were over unity processes,
yes.
according to Fleshman and Pons,
meaning that you're getting more out of it
yeah,
than you're putting into it.
And over unity like just means that if I put one unit in and I get 1%, if I get 101%, like just
right.
like that's over unity, and that
yes,
would
it
freak
is.
People out. And one of the contrasting issues is if you're familiar with like the ITER, the processes where people are trying to confine with huge magnetic fields, that's, you know, to create a fusion process, they have not yet achieved even unity plus a fraction
no.
at this point.
No,
and they're
no.
and they're doing
absolutely
it they're doing
not.
It with enormous amounts of energy
yes.
input. Like it takes the whole city will have to shut down for a while
well divert. And not just that, but
and it's
but
just so instantaneous.
But it is this huge, gigantic thing.
Yeah, oh, it's
that needs to be run and maintained by hundreds, if not thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it costs billions to produce, and it gets nowhere close to anything.
Yeah, and it's yeah. all in one place, and you'd have to. Okay, so
yeah.
it's so
blah blah blah. I know
there's so much about this, but what I was going to say is the thing that surprised me most was we initially thought, okay, there's something going on with Fleshman and Pons, and there's some reaction with the alkali metals. In this case, I think they were using palladium, and
yeah.
they had deuterons. They had like. They had high level stuff. Rossi basically came out and was doing what he was creating just excess heat, but he was using just straight plain hydrogen,
mm-hmm.
and he was using nickel, which is
right.
one of the related metals. And his whole point was in the nickel lattice structure, things happen, and you excite it a certain way.
Something is occurring, and you're getting an excess amount of heat
right.
out.
And then later, as things went along, part of what made a lot of sense, especially as Robert and I were looking at it, when they mentioned that they were using lithium,
mm-hmm.
I think they were using lithium-6 or lithium-7.
Heaven.
They had an isotope of lithium,
yeah.
which in their process, we came to understand, oh, it goes from lithium-7 to beryllium-6?
Eight.
Beryllium-8, yes, it was going. So we're basically going, okay, in their process, this lithium as an isotope, in its isotopic change,
gets transmutated
to an unstable,
to a very unstable
beryllium,
beryllium-8.
And people go, well, that's kind of far-fetched, except no, it isn't. It's literally the basis for the 1950s Nobel Prize
yes.
award for the people who understood. They called it splitting the atom, because what they were doing is they were whacking neutrons or protons at the lithium, and then they were saying it started a chain reaction because alpha particles were coming, these
right.
two. But what was really happening was they were, in some cases, they were ignoring the fact that there was the intermediate step.
Yes.
And that intermediate step made perfect sense. Robert and I were saying, well, we're not looking at anything that's just super weird or complex.
No, no.
It's an isotopic change.
It's an isotopic change.
And I actually proposed it in an email to Rossi. I says, maybe you should call this ice, kind of like people try to say cold fusion. Well, it's not cold fusion, but it could be called isotopic change energy. And he said, maybe that might be an idea. The point being, I kind of thought that's where we were until when you start looking at the theoretical basis for it, he touches on what he calls long-range particle interactions.
Right.
Now, when you and I say long-range, I'm thinking Robert's at one end of the football field, and I'm at the other, and we're shaking you've got a slinky, and you got your waves.
Well, not quite that long.
He's really talking about what he called the picometric scale.
Yeah.
So pico, when you're thinking about down into the internal workings, back where, down where those quarks are, everything, Robert, when you're thinking about picometric, that is a long-range. That's long range down in there.
Yeah.
But the part that I'm finally getting to what's surprising, it says, why have we not previously heard of research on zero point energy and the ECAT technology? And I was thinking, wait a minute. He has now evolved to where he feels that everybody who's pursuing the low energy nuclear reaction, the lattice assisted nuclear reactions, and those everybody's would include the Naval Research Laboratory, the NASA Glenn Center.
Yep. There's
a bunch of people. There's even a patent by the folks that the Google folks and the University of Virginia. They're all pursuing the so-called low energy nuclear reaction, which would be something happening in the metal lattice structure that like forces the components to be like jammed into a corner,
right,
and then things can happen. He's kind of dismissed that. And he says here, reporting on technology development occurring at the border of established physics requires several qualities: solid scientific training, great openness, true humility, and high courage. The audience you can target at an early stage might also be limited, makes spreading the awareness of technology such as the ECAT challenging. In addition to this, the inventor initially believed that the effect had its origin in so-called low-energy nuclear reactions. With a series of theoretical issues. It took him years of experiments and studies, most of them collected in the bibliography of his paper. And I'm going to say, this is what you need to click on, which takes you to his long-range particle interactions thing. Until he could understand that the concept of zero-point energy would resolve all of the theoretical issues raised by the LENR. So this is from the fact sheet. It goes...
Now, as a physics and science guy,
right,
I just want to say that my understanding of what people call a zero-point energy...
Yeah, it's a catch-all for a lot of different perspectives.
Every person that wants you to think that they know what they are saying... uses his term.
Right.
And so it's a shame, it's an absolute shame that we are using this term, because every wacko out there is saying, oh, well, it must be due to zero point energy, because they don't know what to say and they don't know what they are saying.
That's right.
So it's a crying shame that something that is probably valid is being called this.
Well, in Rossi's case, he has basically... He has referred to things that Tesla, Nikolai right. Tesla, purported way back when, and, the idea of... I mean, there's a lot of complicated things about resonance, and when we were talking about the other day, you were saying the idea that maybe you have... It's like in some way you have a mechanism that resonates or is an antenna for that energy that's out there. Part of what's going on in his ResearchGate thing, and at some point it would be good to sit down and just go over point by point. But one of the things that they point out is that within Dirac and a bunch of people who've looked at different things, there is the understanding that the electron has a motion to it.
Yes.
And it may be at the speed of light, and it's a very small motion, but again, there's the concept that, hey guys, this is just out there all the time. It's just like if somebody goes, well, how could Columbus go from Europe to America? Well, it turns out that there are these trade winds. They go this way, they go that way.
Yes.
They're always there, and you know, kind of like if you just put your sail out into the trade winds, you didn't develop them. It just takes you along. Right. Or if you're a fan of hydroelectric power, and you have here's a magnetic field and a rotating wire, and the guy says, well, listen, why don't you put this wheel on it and we'll push it up under the waterfall. So the very little bit of energy that you use to push it up under the waterfall, or maybe you even just had it all set up and you said, hey, let's open up this gate. Instead of grinding grain today, why don't we run this and let the wheel turn our generator and see what happens? Some people would say, well, this is crazy. You now started a process, assuming as an analogy to what we're talking about here.
Right.
Assuming that by simply telling your assistant to go, hey, open up the gate, you know, for the run of the grinding stone thing, and just have it run down here and let it flow over my little water wheel and turn my generator. And the guy goes, yeah, okay, no big deal. And he just opens it up with like almost no effort at all. And the thing runs for the next 100 years and produces 100 watts of electricity an hour.
Every hour.
So the point is,
it's
in looking
the same
at
same ideas.
Yeah, you have to look at some of these things. And we're not going to claim, okay, guys, this is all, you have to believe this. We're really looking at this from a practical standpoint. And that's where it goes. Well, for example, the first thing that they did was they created the ECAT SKLED. And there's a whole bunch of things you can click on. Where can I use the lamp? How much light is 10,000 lumens? And, you know, it gives you all this. If you go through, it gives you a sense of how much that is. Is the lamp dimmable? It turns out you can actually dim it to the point where it actually turns from 0 to 10,000 lumens.
Wow, that is really awesome.
And the thing is, the control will, you know, it all works. And then it says, how much is 4 watts? Well, that's the power consumption. And, you know, gives you a whole bunch of, and again, here's the thing, this particular thing takes 4 watts, but it gives you what is equivalent to like 100 watts of LED, you know, compared to what it takes to run a comparable lumen producing device with a standard thing. There's just so much, all these questions are here, but the thing that is interesting, can I pre-order the lamp now? Yes, you can pre-order it. And it says you could pre-order, and there's a thing to pre-order. A lot of people who've talked about folks like Rossi who were purporting, say, new devices or things like that. Well, it's a ripoff. You're going to send him your money. You don't send him any money. There's no, he's not, unlike ITER, which is asking for billions of dollars from France and the United States and Germany and the people that, and we're talking about, the amount of money is just astonishing. The whole point about this is you can go ahead and pre-order, and partly because he wants to get a million of them pre-ordered so that it, you know, when their production starts, then you can pay for it at the time it's deliverable, and that's kind of it. Anyway, this is something you're going to want to go through and look at. You know, it talks about practical uses, just for your perspective, if you want to know what like a 10,000 lumen light is, you could probably go to your local car dealer and see the kind of brilliant lights they're shining, you know, or a football. Those are the things. Stadium lights, a 10,000 lumens is a bright light.
That is a lot.
And it's also a directed, like, 30-degree angle cone of bright light. Anyway, I all these things are here. When do I have to pay? When can I get it? Can I change my mind? Let me see if I can change my mind. Yes, you can change your mind anytime. Send me an email, cancel your order. So if you want to, you can go and order, you know, 100 of these are lights, and then when they turn out and say, hey, we're ready for your order, you can just change your mind. So there's all this stuff down here, and questions, planning and strategy, cost of production. Anyway, there's all the questions that I was thinking it was on this sheet. There's some place where somebody was talking about how, you know, can you use this as a mobile thing? You know, the point being, well, since you only need 1 watt to start, even if you just had, say you're going to start up one, or you had a bank of maybe 10 of the SKLEPs because you wanted 1,000 watts of power to, which would be a, you know, typical amount to run a lot of things. You just need a battery or something to start it. And at one point, one of the things I did find interesting about some of the back and forth here, he suggested that the Tesla battery worked best. He said
that. Isn't that interesting?
I just put that as an aside. So
that's fascinating. As though that he's already done that test.
Well, and they've already talked about the fact that, and if you thought that it would be interesting to be able to turn on your porch light for, what was it, 11.4 something years? They also point out that instead of, if you had a typical electric car, three or four, or maybe say you had a big Tesla pickup truck, I don't know, three or four or five
would actually run your car
for 11.4 years without ever doing anything.
Yeah, so it could be going nonstop.
It could be. You could become a pizza delivery man for 11.4 years and never. I'll do stop at the restroom occasionally. That would be the only thing I would suggest. So
good morning.
So that part of it was just fascinating. Now I'm going to go just touch on. I'm just going to touch on the question and answer, and that may have been where the question was. If you were listening to the presentation, you could in real time submit them, and you still can. In fact. I'm noticing there actually are some new things, like does it have a reactor inside? Is it similar to your former SKL? It just has all kinds of, like I said, and there are going to be more questions and the answers coming up. And if you want to see those, it shows you, it says you can use this form, and then this is all the questions. And as I looked at it, I keep seeing, this is probably where the Tesla question was, yeah. Oh, you can also order it for AC or DC. That means you can start it with AC or have AC or DC come out.
That's really cool.
Can it be changed? Yes. If you ordered it one way and you want to change it, it says here, send it to info. I mean, there's all the stuff about the nuts and bolts of working this.
This is really interesting. So you can do as Hertz. You can do your European Hertz. Okay, so
and it tells you what's included.
These guys have gone through the whole wow. Okay, that's impressive that somebody's decided, okay, this is not just going to be an American thing, it's going to be a worldwide.
Oh, no, I think they actually feel that it'll be more of an EU thing initially because there's going to be less. Anyway, if you scroll, and you could take a long time because they keep adding.
A lot of questions, a lot of answers.
Yeah, and so the ECAT SKLEP is going to be like $250, and I'm thinking, well, that seems kind of steep at first.
But it lasts for 100,000 hours.
Well, I know. If you take the time to look through this, I think it would probably answer most of your questions. And I think this is where it actually mentioned the Tesla thing somewhere down there. But
Wait. It says, does the SKLEP automatically turn itself on when power is required? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it
just keeps running.
That's one of the questions that you and I had. Yeah.
And it says if there's no the controller basically says if there's no power, does it just idle? Well, it goes it gets turned off. But the point is once it's on, it's anyway, lots of questions here, and like I said, it's one of the things where some people are going to say, I'm not going to spend any time looking at this because it sounds wacky, but other people, I think, are going to pay attention. Now, one of the little things that's also interesting.
Wow, great questions and answers here. Okay, yeah,
there's a lot.
Need to do is spend a couple hours and just read through this.
Well, and the other thing, we include Rossi's blog. If you look up above our listing of topics up in the left-hand corner is the Rossi blog. And that's always interesting because people will sometimes tell him, hey, you did a really lousy job. Why don't you get a celebrity to do this? And, somebody that doesn't have speak with an. And he's kind of, I'm going to say, in some ways, he was a little gruff in the presentation because he's putting it out here. And it's kind of like, for those who understand what's going on, this is enough. I don't have to do anything.
Right.
And also,
I understand that.
Also, as I said, I mentioned to some people, there's part of me that wants to say, keep this. Don't come out and stick it in anybody's face because some people, when they finally really understand what's going on here, the ones who are really smart will say, well, this is going to help me no matter who I am.
Yeah.
Even if you're Exxon Mobil, you're going to understand that you could adopt some of this technology and you could reduce the cost of your production enormously for things that people are going to keep needing. Like people that mow their lawn with a gas lawnmower are going to say,
so ridiculous.
They're going to say, I still need my gasoline. And if it turns out that Rossi can, if Exxon uses this technology to make a cleaner fuel for me or something and cheaper, well, that's going to be good. So you know, but
actually, if you if you're one of those people that needs to mow your lawn several times a day, like I am, some
you've been doing that lately.
No. That do, oh no, no, no,
no neighbor.
I certainly do not, but I know.
And they don't have sheep or goats, right?
Right, and they do not have sheep or goats. You might as well figure out how to install one of these on a lawnmower so that you can mow for the next 11.4 years uninterrupted.
Obviously, you could put one of these on a little electric lawnmower, like those Black and Decker things, and
off you go.
And if it had sufficient battery power, it would last you for, oh my gosh, who knows long.
Yep.
Anyway, so let's look at Engineer 48. This comes from the Rossi blog, and within that whole thing, there's a way, if you click on it, I was able to just, this is the link to just the one that, you know, I wanted to click on, this particular one. Okay, so it was a guy who says, this is Engineer 48, who's somebody that participates in the Rossi blog, and he posted this December 10th. He said, if it is right about the SKLAP life being 100,000 hours, then everything changes. Because I'm thinking, he's talking about getting 10 units. Mm-hmm. Sure, $2,500 kilowatts up front. So that would be like $2,500 dollar.
For 10 of these things.
Yeah, he has 10 times 100. He says it's expensive. He's talking about up front. He said, but when factoring in kilowatt hours, it gets interesting. So he goes, 100,000 kilowatt hours for 2,500 is 0.25 kilo. It's like literally 2.5 cents.
All right. I'm a little confused here. Why is he having 10 of these things?
Oh, he was talking. They were talking about, like, if you were. He's talking about, say, like, to power your house.
Oh, okay.
Because here's his last sentence. He goes, "Look," and as he says to Rossi, "Nothing on the planet could deliver 24/7 kilowatt hours to your home for 11 years." And he's talking about says he has 10 at 2.5 cents per kilowatt
hour. Nothing.
So nothing. The point would be, oh, wait a minute. So, like, if I'm going to live in a house, or I'm going to have run a garage or a place for, if I expect to be doing this for 11 years, once I've spent $2,500, it's free from then on.
Right.
I mean, after the initial, you know.
Sure.
So, I just thought this was kind of an interesting.
Well, what it boils down to is, let's say that your electrical costs at your house were only 5 cents per kilowatt.
And they're not. In fact, around here, I'm going to say in Europe it's even more, but we're here we're at like 10 or 12 anyway.
Yeah.
Because we're in a state with coal and everything, it's cheap. We're so lucky we get
cheap
electricity.
And it's still 4 times more expensive.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So for whatever you would be doing, I mean, maybe you had an industrial process, maybe you, whatever it is, this guy is pointing out, yeah, it is, in some ways you feel like it's a little steep up front. And I would have to say that initially the concept that Rossi was looking at was like some kind of a home heating thing that would be $300 or $400.
Right.
That would replace, that you could put in the middle, say, splice into your, if you had a hot water, circulating hot water system at your home, you would just splice it in and you turn it on and it would run for, you know, 6 months or a year, and then you'd replace the fuel cartridge. So that was kind of the initial thing. And I will say that they're looking at a lot of things. When I look at this, when I look at what they have done, what you're talking about is an object that's basically, well, since we're, you know, here in this part of the world, we won't talk the centimeters, but it's basically an inch by an inch by 4 inches.
Right. It's tiny.
That's all it is.
It's tiny. It can fit in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, and the analogy I mentioned to people was, hey, if you were to go buy one of those big Tesla Powerwalls, what you'll find out when you take it apart, it's like multiple lithium ion it's a configuration of, so, but each one of those little batteries does not produce 100 watts.
No.
And so.
And it certainly does not produce 100 watts for 100,000 hours.
Yeah, once you crank it up, it just keeps going.
Right.
So first of all, I want you to picture the fact that, okay, you could have something that's an inch on a side, 4 inches high, you know, like almost sounds like a little, one of those little Bic lighters.
Yeah,
or something.
That's exactly what it
about
sounds like.
That size. And they're saying that, like, with 3 or 4 or 5 of those, you could basically, and say, like,
how are your house?
Well, or your house, or in the case of, say, like a Tesla vehicle that does have a battery, you know, because you need a store, you would never catch up with your production of electricity with just having made three or four of those somewhere in the assembly. And if you got it into a situation where the power, the power that was being produced was going to be no storage battery, but just you had enough continuous power to do it.
Just raw.
Yeah, just raw power. And to give you a sense of it, now it sounds like it would be really expensive to do it if you're talking about these things being $250 a piece. But they talked about the fact that you could produce a megawatt, a million watts, in a device that's a foot by a foot by 4 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you decided you had to order one of those big new Tesla Cybertrucks, this would fit under your seat.
So wait. Are we talking a foot by a foot by 4 feet, or are we talking a meter by a meter by 4 meters?
Oh, I'm not sure. Let me think. Maybe you're right. It might have been the Okay.
Meters.
Well, in any case, it also
is still that's.
We'll just cut it in half if you want.
Yeah.
If you don't want a whole megawatt, you just want 500,000 watts of any time instantaneous power. The amount that you need to run your car is actually way smaller. But let's just assume for a sense of argument about. So what's going on here? If Rossi and Tesla were actually talking, they would actually know exactly how many of these units it would take
with no battery.
And the Tesla battery system is heavy.
Yes,
as is any electric system. So that's another wonderful question I would love to know. Exactly, if I needed all the power I would need to drive one of those, like maybe Tesla semis or a standard Tesla car, instantaneously anytime. And their whole point is, if you're not driving it and you don't need it, the control system is in off position.
So,
and of course, it produces no heat and it produces no carbon dioxide.
So that means that it could if you were to have multiple of these units, it could drive continuously for 11.4 years. But if you only needed it for an hour a day, then it would never in your lifetime run out.
Yeah, probably not. And it's not clear exactly how they're talking about that, like whether not using it would extend the. I actually get the feeling that other than the fact of damage, or that they have the sense that there's no, you know, they can't tell, because this is something that you can't say, well, we've tested it for an unlimited amount of time. It hasn't happened yet.
One of the questions I'd like to see an answer to, and I've not seen it yet, is what happens after it's used up?
They talk about can we just recycle, and they say yeah. Okay. And they'll, you know, basically they'll just give you a whole new unit, and there'll be a discount, you know, on the switchover. I forget what it was.
So you mean we don't have to throw these things away?
No, because they want it all back.
You can't put it back into a landfill or throw it into
a
neighbor's yard.
Dump it into the hollow. Like people do. Okay. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff here, and we're going to be talking about more. Let's take a quick look at the Ragone chart.
The Ragone.
And I only put this up because you and I talked about this for people to get a sense. When you click on this, you go, "Well, I'm not sure if I understand this completely," but. Over in the left-hand corner of the Ragone plot, which is basically, this is the thing about power density, energy density, you know, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds except to say everything over here is stuff that you've probably heard about. Like even look, supercapacitors. Like for example, Tesla, they could have a supercapacitor that would give you, that would hold a week's or 2 days worth of stuff, and you would never outrun your little ECATs recharging it.
Right.
Anyway, everything in the lower left-hand corner is kind of stuff that we know about. You know, gasoline, methanol, you know, all kinds of cool things like fuel cells. Now, just to give you a thing of what we're talking about, it's kind of good to compare. Suppose, these are the results based on a bunch of people that, you know, I'm not just saying Rossi just made this up, but there are a lot of people who stand by these data.
Yeah.
So
now, I know that in the past when we've looked at this, but there might be some listeners that are listening in for the first time. If you look at this chart, I want you to look at the axes. if you look at the horizontal axis, it says energy density in watts per a kilogram.
Yeah, watt hours. Yeah.
You'll notice. Yeah, thank you. You'll notice that this is a logarithmic chart, meaning it doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It goes
powers 10, of 10, yeah.
100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. That's 10 to the first, they left off the 1. 10 to the second is 100. 10 to the third is 1,000. 10 to the fourth is 10,000. 10 to the fifth, on and on. And if you look at the vertical chart, what's normally called the y-axis, that's the power density. This is watts per kilogram. That's in the same thing. It's not a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like right. We normally see a graph. This is a logarithmic graph. Again, it's a powers of 10, which means that if you were to do this in a linear manner, yeah, as a normal graph, this thing would be gigantic.
Yeah.
And so to be able to fit
on your screen.
Yeah. So to be able to fit all of this data on the screen, they've taken a logarithmic graph for the x-axis, logarithmic graph for the y-axis, to be able to reduce that down. So when you look up at the top and you see this little green of five-sided dot, and it says ECAP March 2014, it's not, you know, 5 times or 10 times better than a flywheel, yeah, or something. It's hundreds of thousands of times.
Yeah, we're in the 10 to the ninth.
Yeah, it's millions of times. This is why
it's a mind blowing chart if you get what we're looking at.
When we were talking about this at the very beginning, when I see this chart, it literally blows my mind every single time. I'm going, how can this possibly be? And the answer is, because you're doing something brand new.
Yeah.
This is brand new. This is not the usual thing that everybody talks about.
Anyway, yeah, there's a lot here, and it can be daunting to look at.
Yes.
But this will be an important chart. The kind of big overall thing that should just really is you look at the green thing that's the ECAT, the March 2014 test, and this is based on using an active mass of 1 gram, and they're giving all this stuff. The only thing that is even close in the neighborhood is you go, oh, and it doesn't even have the power density.
No.
You know, it surpasses the thing in energy density, but we're looking at plutonium-238. And you know, Robert, when people use that,
it's bad. Bad things happen.
Yeah. Bad things can happen.
Don't do it.
Okay, so that's the chart. I'm going to say that... I was thinking this morning, Robert, one of the things we like to do is I was thinking of all the crazy simple things you could do with something like this. Like, you could use this with other systems. Like, obviously, if you're going to power any ion engines.
Yeah.
This would be so good.
Obviously, yeah.
Because, you know, you'd have 11.4 years or so to get to wherever you wanted to go with your ion engines, right?
Yep.
That's an amazing thing. I was thinking of the fact that, you know, a lot of times people think, again, we get into that, like, well, you can't get something for nothing.
Well, you're not getting something for nothing.
And you're not. And
it's being used somehow.
Like, one of the things I've often pointed out to people is that steam power was an amazing, magical thing when people started using it. And it both directions of steam power. Like, if you had something, and I'm saying, let's imagine that you had some situation where you had a lot of water that was at 99.9 degrees. And you just kept it there at that temperature. By just adding, getting that water to go through its, to 100 and have it go from a liquid to a...
It suddenly turns into steam and it expands and it can push
enormous
pistons and make things work.
And then the other thing that's even more enormous is if you have a system where you have a... Let's say you have a large cylinder, a room or a cylinder. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a large cylinder and it's completely open. You don't even have to use anything much, in fact, nothing beyond actual atmospheric pressure to completely fill it with steam at 100 degrees plus, mm-hmm, and then let it cool to 99. The energy that comes from the compression, the recompression, is even astonishingly more. In fact, I was looking at why couldn't you have some kind of a, you could revert to all kinds of interesting steam systems where you'd have some ECATs that basically kept a reservoir of water available to you at 99.9, and then you'd have an electrical system that would power your little microwave to kick it over and turn it into steam that would do work for you.
Wow, there's some great ideas.
Well, I was thinking about one of the things about the LED light is that it's a broad spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, well, you know, if you made that into just a pure spectrum for plant growth.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing?
Then just look at the astonishing thing you could do with greenhouses. Or
a 24 hours a day.
Or in the age of COVID, if you just wanted to have a simple system where the entire HVA system in your school or hospital would go through a zone with intense UV, whether your air and water would be, you know, there would be nothing that would survive it in terms of the, you know.
Absolutely purified.
Well, and then the other one I thought would be really, suppose you want to do hydrogen fuel, how are you going to store it? Well, you could store, you could use the ECAT electricity for a hydrolytic splitting of water.
Yep.
And then you could just separate the hydrogen and oxygen, or you could even let them mix because that's an explosive, powerful gas to do work for you. There's so many things.
There's so much you could do here. This is amazing.
And a lot of times people think about this, there's a time shifting thing.
Yeah.
The first thing I was thinking about was I watched a great thing about trebuchets. Are you familiar with the trebuchet?
Yes.
Well, the idea was that how did they launch these giant, they would launch cows into cities. They would have like 100 kilograms, you know, they had huge stones, and it was like the nuclear device of the medieval times. And one of the systems, you know what it is, you had this heavy thing where you had to fill up with dirt or rocks and then you released it. And one of the things that somebody proposed was, you know, if you were able to do it, you could have a trebuchet system. And this is why I'm saying it's time shifting on how you do stuff. Like when people have those little cattle zappers and they have a capacitor that builds up with one little battery and it knocks you flat. You could have a trebuchet could have a system where you have this whole big empty thing and it's lightweight and balanced, and you just pull it up to where the stream fills it with water and you hook it so it can't move. And after it's filled up with 20 tons of water, you release the thing and the trebuchet launches a 100 kilogram rock into the castle.
There you go.
And the water goes out and you do it again.
You aren't using any energy.
Right.
Compared to what is being released.
Yeah, and so it becomes one of those things where people get, you know, concerned. Oh, is this real or is this false? We're doing
good. All right.
Got a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so those are probably more things than many of you wanted to hear about the ECAT.
But you know what?
This is going to be important.
You heard it here on Radio Science News.
And pretty much nowhere else.
It will be nowhere else.
Well,
so please pay some attention to this because it could turn into something truly amazing.
The thing is, if we take people at their word, and
we should.
But the point of it is, there's a lot of scrutiny by a lot of people of this, and a lot of people involved, and some behind the scenes big companies involved in this. And if nothing else is going on here, at December 9th, 2021, somebody, you know, kind of like the guy that was going to invent warp speed on Star Trek, came out with this concept that said, you know, I'm going to take it way down. I'm going to trim it way back in terms of my coefficient of performance because I could probably do 1,000.
Right.
But I just want to have an easily controllable device that people might want to buy. And that's an absolutely astonishing thing.
Yes,
even if
is.
we don't seem to realize it right now. And I'm going to get ready to start the old
okay.
You know, Robert, we had some great stories here.
Okay, so we are just going to have to take them to next
all
week
right.
where we'll
even
talk
the grape seed,
the
Robert?
The infant COVID, the nasal vaccine, the six quarks, the grape seed, the TT10, the difficile C, and the transplant.
There are so many. I'll tell you what, I might even start the theme early just because I want to. No, I'll give it a second. We may look at one. Let's look at the nasal vaccine because
nasal vaccine.
And I didn't say naval vaccine.
No,
a lot of people say it's bad enough in the arm.
Nasal vaccine may aid against new viral variants.
Yes,
which is a great idea.
Well, and this is certainly an idea that. Turn that down to the hair. This is certainly an idea that was thought about by many people who are looking at skin patch vaccines, vaccines that you could actually take in the form of a food or a pill. Even the folks at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center were saying, you know, you could inhale this. The neat thing about this story is that this is actually the most efficacious place, because anything you do in your nasal mucous membranes alerts your lungs first.
Yeah, great idea.
And they make a whole point of that, unlike anything else going on in this thing.